Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. Our guest today, Igal Adado, he is an entrepreneur, leader, expert, founder of the Legion of Leaders and Leaderado. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Derek. I'm happy to be here.
You've got a cool story. Our entrepreneurs and those who want to learn from someone who started at an early age are going to enjoy your story today. You dedicate yourselves to helping business owners now, mastering self-leadership skills, finding their passion, transforming their personal and professional lives into what they've wanted. But since age 15, you've been studying and practicing leadership, including building up to a $50 million in revenue that you did with your brother with a company that you started at the age of 22. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun, and I learned so much doing that.
I love to start at the beginning and just hear, again, myself too, being an entrepreneur from an early age. Tell me, kind of walk me through, like, when did it click for you? When did you realize you were onto something? When did you get the bug? Just kind of walk me through your first memories of just that obsession or having fun with chasing the entrepreneur dream.
Sure. So it started off, I come from an entrepreneur family. So my father, my uncles, my grandfather, they all were business owners. But at the age of about 13 years old, I joined a youth leadership movement. At the age of 16, I became one of the counselors at the leadership movement. And then at the age of 20, I became one of the main leadership development directors for the counselors. So that's how my leadership started.
Wow.
And then I got into a band. I did the whole, you know, tour and music thing. And I was broke. And my brother invited me over to his business. He had started a pawn shop. And he said, hey, I need some help a couple of days a week. And then, yeah, I was there for 15 years working with my brother. Hand in hand, grew a business, sold over $50 million in services and products. Wow. And now I do the leadership development gig. So,
well, just curious, what part of the country were you in when you had your pawn shop business?
Pawn shop? Yeah. Here in San Diego,
very
California.
Cool. Okay, man, that's exciting. Yeah. What a cool. Now, it's the allure of it now has been made popular. Of course, I grew up shopping at pawn shops, but the allure grew, obviously, with Pawn Stars. Did you see an increase in traffic, or have you heard of people seeing an increase in traffic since the popularity of shows like that?
You know, first of all, I need to say, Derek, you're a smart man for shopping at a pawn shop because you save so much money. It's the truth. A lot of people don't know, You know, diamonds, musical instruments, tools, all that stuff, but you do save a lot of money. But for me, the allure, yes, before we used to tell people that we were in the jewelry business, we wouldn't say that we were in the pawn shop business. But then when Hardcore Pawn and Pawn Stars came out, we just kept on saying we were pawn shop owners and we were pawn brokers. And so we started giving people tours of our business because of the shows. So it was pretty cool.
That's fun. I always love to see when a vertical like that gets popular and just how, when there's not an interest before, it just suddenly a shift to making it sexy to go get a behind the scenes tour of a pawn shop. I think it's cool, but I love it when it becomes mainstream like that.
Yeah. And obviously the shows are a little, you know, made up. Some of it's made up. We actually had a producer call us and he asked my brother and I to do a show. And he asked us three questions. He said, do you and your brother fight? I said, no, we don't. He said, do you fight with your employees? No, we have a great culture. What about with your customers? Do you yell and scream to your customers? I said, no, I love my customers. And he just said, sorry, we don't have a show.
What would a show be without those things, right?
Exactly.
That's hilarious. So tell me about building a culture in your stores. How did you do that? What is it like there? And how are you intentional about building a culture?
Sure. So in the pawn shop business, you know, I was doing my leadership stuff on the side. And seeing what was happening in culture and leadership, I just decided with my brother, I said, why don't we have meetings once a week? And let's start talking about, let's start training people, talk about culture, see what we can do differently in the industry. And so I started giving these mini seminars on motivation, on self-awareness, on mindset, on leadership. And the company took a turn for the better. People were happier. They were more productive. We were making more money. Our customers started loving walking into the stores, seeing the employees smile. And we really saw a difference when management took on that leadership and the culture role in the rest of the organization. So it was, I lived it firsthand from an industry where there's not a lot of culture. You don't hear about culture creation in the pawn shop business. Right. And
yeah,
so when I said,
yeah, that's why I was so curious. It's you're right. You don't really hear about that.
Yeah. And it came to the point where we had, you know, competitors, employees coming to wanting to work for us. And we were giving away, you know, medical insurance, and we were doing games and prizes. We were taking people bowling into concerts. I mean, it became a lot of fun working at the shop. So it just improved all around. I mean, the customers loved it. The employees liked it. And we realized that our employees, even though they don't make, you know, our employees don't make $80,000, $100,000 a year, they had families and they had to come to work happy and leave work happy so that they can give to their families, not just give to us as employers.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for sharing. I'm always interested. I mean, we had a situation at our office. I'm the founder of this company, and we didn't have a bad culture. We just had kind of a disengaged culture. And so we had to get very intentional. So, and we still do. And so I'm always looking to learn from experts like you who have done that. What was your culture like before? Was it negative? Was it just disengaged? Was it just not intentional? I mean, what were you seeing that made you think, you know what, let's inject some intentionality?
You know, it was never negative. It was never, you know, a bad culture. It just wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing all the studying I was doing in leadership and culture and doing all the reading, I decided to use the stores as my science project, essentially, right? And just to kind of get some training there and see what it would do. And my brother was kind enough to say, go for it. You know, my brother, we were yin and yang. He took care of sales and merchandising, and I was more on the back end of the culture creation and management. So he said, go for it. And I tried it, and we just started seeing, you know, positive repercussions, which is incredible. And the biggest one for us in starting it was realizing that everybody has issues, right? At home, everybody has problems. And if you're compassionate to that, and you know that the employees spend sometimes more time at work than they do at home, then you can be the difference maker for that person. Let's say it's a father going home and running a better household, being happier, being more present to his kids, which creates an incredible future, right? Because the kids grew up with a present father. They're happier. They become better people. And it just changes the world one person at a time. So we started realizing that. We started seeing that. And it just took off.
I love that. What's it? I was really close to my brother. We worked some jobs together. We were in a band together for 14 years.
Oh, nice.
What is, what's it? You said that the shows weren't interested enough, but how is it working with your brother day in and day out? What's that like?
It was a love-hate relationship. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I was hoping you would say that. It makes me feel bad.
So, you know, we had an incredible relationship where he took care of some responsibilities, I took care of the other, and we would always meet and talk about what was going on. There were things that we had harsh disagreements about, and we would fight, scream, and yell. But at the end of the day, we love each other, so we would hug. And, you know, I sold my brother my Porsche 2 years ago, and it was just so easy because of it. We, you know, we hugged, we looked at the numbers, we said yes, yes, yes. It was a win-win-win, and we walked out. I'm still there, you know, helping him out with culture and things, but it just makes it so much easier when you can understand the other person, regardless if it's your brother or not, and know that a fight isn't an emotional or personal attack. It's just the other person wanting the best for the business. And then you just have to kind of figure it out from there.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. And sometimes when you have the same vision and you're passionate about it, but just have different priorities on how to get there or different responsibilities, it can get heated sometimes. But when the passion's there and you have the same vision, you can align and reach the same goals.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't have done it without him. He taught me so much, and I'm so much of the man I am today because of him, and him taking me under the wing, saying, "Hey, you're a broke musician. I'll give you a couple of bucks." And he kind of slave drew me. You know, he was paying me. It was like $1,000 a month I was working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I did the math. It really was below the salary requirements, but I'll let that go for now.
It ended up working out for you. So, on that note, tell me about give us a couple secrets on, you talk about handling speed bumps, that you've learned to handle speed bumps, excuses, stresses, how to run teams. Give us some insight on what are some top things that a leader needs to do to deal with the day-to-day situations of working with people.
So there's three things that come to mind. The first is clarity. And what clarity is being very clear in what you want and what you need. A lot of times as business owners, as managers, we give somebody a direction and there's just this huge expectation that the other party understood what we were saying. And there's a saying, I forgot where I heard it. It said, when you think you're communicating is when you're not. And you have to make sure that the other person really knows what you're talking about and what you want. Because if you don't, they go back, they do something else, and then you get upset and you ask, wait a second, why did you do X instead of Y? Right? So clarity is the number one thing for me. It's being very, very clear what you want, what you need, and how you want it to get done when it comes to leadership.
Awesome. So three things. Number one, clarity. What else is important in leadership?
Second one is courage, all the way. You have to have the courage to communicate. You have to have the courage to sit down in front of the person and talk it out. Have to have the courage to not step away from the issue, you know, not back down when it gets tough. And I think people look up to leaders when they're courageous. You know, you hear about these great military leaders, these great business leaders, and it's because of courage. They were courageous enough to do something that was never done. They were courageous enough to go into a battle that nobody thought would be won. And that's extremely motivating for a team to see, your employees to see, as a business leader, 100%.
They want to rally behind that, don't they?
Yeah, 100%.
So what's the third one?
Commitment. And when I talk about commitment, it's not just to them or to the business. It's to yourself. It's to your health. It's to your family. They want to follow somebody who they look up to, not that they have to follow. Yeah. And when you're that somebody who's committed to them as a person, their success, when you're committed to your family, when you're committed to your health, they look up to you in all regards and they will follow whatever you say, you know, and sometimes they'll go against you, but they say it, they'll call you out or they'll argue with you because they see you as such a leader that they want this to work. So you have to be committed.
That's great. Yeah. Clarity, courage, and commitment. That's powerful. And that has got to help shape a culture authentically too.
Yes. I mean, in clarity, you've got the authenticity and there's a lot of things that come into these clarity, courage, and commitment. You know, commitment is being consistent with what you do, keeping your word. There's a lot of that. So clarity, courage, and commitment, I think for me are the top three. There's more, but our top three for me.
You talked about health several times, and we see this often. I've had it in my own life. I've seen it with so many clients of ours and colleagues, and where they're so driven to grow your business that you sacrifice other areas of your life, such as your health, your family, and not realizing it. And sometimes your happiness, and wake up and realize you're not as healthy, that you're overworked, that you're a slave to your own product or company you've developed. What do you say to those people? I know it's a topic that you teach on often.
So I'm so happy you brought this up. One of the reasons I went into leadership development was because of my father. And my father is a very successful businessman, but at the age of 58 was diagnosed with Parkinson's and dementia. So my father, you know, I owned 3 stores. He had 12 of his own, made a lot more money than I did, sold a lot more, had a much bigger company. But now his money goes towards caregivers and doctors. At the age of 58, he was, I mean, young guy. Right. But my father was all about working, you know, 6 days, 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours, you know, I'll work today so I can enjoy tomorrow.
Right.
But as a kid, I'd give all the money back to have my dad healthy. So what I want to say to the business leaders out there is, people are looking up to you. It be your employees, your customers, or your family. And they're looking at not just how much money you make, but how you live day in and day out. And especially if you have a family, your kids are seeing that. So I'm a father, my baby's a year and a half old, and I want my baby to see a happy father, not just a successful one. So, you know, when my father got hit with the Parkinson's dementia, it broke us. It was very, very tough. But that's when I realized that I need to be healthy today and every day so that I can enjoy tomorrow, meaning my money, my family, my success, my spirituality, whatever it is that you love and you have a passion for, you need to be healthy today to enjoy it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And I hope that your father's doing okay.
Tell me. He is. Yeah. He's got some good days and not such good days, but yeah. It's day by day. So thanks for asking.
So yes, you talk about the importance of that balance, but you know, sometimes, and I'll tell you personally, that's easier said than done. And I've heard others say it's a misnomer that you can have balance and that you pick one over the other. How do you? What are some of the ways to be able to achieve personal and professional success so that you can perform well in both areas or several areas of your life? We wear a lot of hats besides just business owner or entrepreneur or leader or father or husband.
Yeah. And it happened to me, Derek, to be honest with you. I sat there 5 years ago. I got married. I was 40 pounds overweight. And one night I came home and my wife sat me down and she said, I didn't get married to be alone. Hmm. And so I had to figure out how to not balance, but do this balancing act of my personal and my professional life. But when you have clarity, courage, and commitment, and when you choose to try to balance it out, that's when it happens. Hmm. So let me explain. I think a lot of business owners just go through life, you know, thinking about the business. I got to make this successful. I have to make this successful without putting a plan into place, without being more productive, without getting some coaching, some mentoring, or just sharing their feelings of what's happening. Right. And they're alone. They're alone in their pain. They're alone in their loneliness. They're alone in trying to get this business moving forward. You know, their wife or husband might not understand. Their friends don't understand. And when you're alone, you kind of hold everything in. And when you hold everything in, you don't plan. There's no way to plan if you're not putting this out there. So for me, it was about, you know, being coached and mentored. It was about putting a plan together and also sitting down day by day, week by week, whatever it takes to see where I'm at. Hmm. So if I set goals for health, where am I at in my health? Where am I at in my profit? Where am I at in my relationship with my wife? And just like you see business numbers, right? You look at your P&L, your balance sheet, your expenses, all that type of stuff, is looking at it the same way you do with your business, your personal relationships, and the relationship with yourself, which is your health mentally and physically.
Are there some small ways? What are some small things? What are some small steps you can do? Because I'll tell you personally, it took me a long time and I've got some better balance now and I'm loving your advice, but it took me a long time. I was one of those entrepreneurs who loves to tinker and build and my pride and my self-worth a lot came from that. And I was in isolation. As many people and friends and people I had around me, I really did take the journey in isolation until a few years ago, which is very recent for me in my late 30s to decide, you know what, I'm not meant to do this alone, as some mentors shared with me. What are some small steps? For me, it took a while. And then it was finally hearing enough from an expert like you of saying, you're not supposed to do this by yourself. What is a small step somebody listening can take? Because it seems a little overwhelming to just say, okay, I'm just going to have balance then and score myself. Give me a small thing someone can do that's applicable tomorrow, today.
Sure. So I'll give you two quick ones.
Thank you.
One is to make a list of what is it that you want to achieve? What is it that you want, right? And be very specific about it. I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. I want my business to grow by 10%, whatever that is, and write them down. And then go out there and either find a group of friends, find a mastermind, find a coach who will hold you accountable to it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you've done until this point, if you're going to make a big change, it's going to be very hard to do it by yourself. Right. Because you're used to doing it a certain way. You put on your shoes the same way every morning. You take a shower the same way every morning. You brush your teeth the same way every morning. We're creatures of habit. And unless we have somebody to call us out on the changes that we want, we go back to that habit. So let me give you an example. If you want to, lose the weight, or if you want to be a better leader, right? And by better leader, you want to have a meeting once a week with your management team to see kind of what's going on. If you don't have somebody to hold you accountable to that, you'll do it once, twice, three times, and it will just slip through the cracks. Unless somebody is there behind you to say, Derek, what's going on? Why didn't you have that meeting? And call you out when you don't get the stuff done. Right. So it could be a friend, it could be a coach, it could be a group, whatever that is, but there's so much power in that. And I think you mentioned mentors and things like that. I think there's so much power in realizing what you don't know and finding the resources to help you learn how to do it or keep you accountable to get it done.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's great advice. You know, again, the mentorship angle is very strong. I think friends are great to share as well. Yesterday, my wife and I've been doing the 12-week year, the Brian Moran 12-week year.
Nice.
And yesterday was my second 12 weeks, and I've been very vocal about my progress on it or if I've missed something. So yesterday, my wife and I sat down, and I wanted her to see. So I typed up a very detailed list of health goals, of exercise goals, of savings and debt reduction. And I said, I need you to hold me accountable to this, please. I want you to watch it for the next 12 weeks because you know me and I will slip back into the comforts. And I think having our spouse, tell me about having your spouse, if you're married, having your spouse on the same page with you when you are making these kind of goals.
It's so important. I mean, I had a year meeting with my wife in January when we set our goals for the year. We have this thing that does, which every night before we go to bed, she wants to kind of summarize the day and what we were feeling and what's been going on, because your spouse is there to support you. And if you don't share, there's something called emotional contagion. And if you come to bed upset or stressed out, they're going to feel it. You're really going to feel it. And you can hide it as much as you want, but they think wrong. So it's better to share so they're going to help you out, or so that you can just be heard. So maybe you just, as an entrepreneur, you just need to be heard and listened to. So another thing also is, I would say, is when you do these things, it's so important to know that you will be called out. And when you're called out, don't get upset about it.
Right.
Be a leader. Take it, right? Take the feedback and turn around and get done what you need to get done. A lot of times there's a lot of work to be done. You know, I've had a lot of clients who, you know, will come to the coaching and then they're like, oh, this is so much. I didn't think it was going to be like this. About to turn your life and your business around. What did you think it was going to be?
Yeah. So tell me about your coaching style. Tell me for our listeners that are curious about how you work with others and coach them through this. What does that look like?
Sure. So I have two things. I do a group coaching, which is called the Leaderado, which is a group of men at the moment, entrepreneurs come together. We talk, we plan, we strategize when it comes to professional and our personal lives. I also do one-to-one coaching for business leaders of all sorts. And what I do is I believe that your life and your business have to be intact on the same trajectory in order for you to succeed. And so we don't just work on your business. We don't look just at your bottom line, at your marketing. We'll look at how's your relationship going? How's your health going? How's your being present with your kids? The time that you have, because that for me is what creates success and what creates other people's success. And what I've seen that when a leader has all those things in place, not balance, right? Because it's very hard to be balanced, but they've got that balancing act going and there's joy in their life from doing it. Everything goes upward. Your profitability, the growth of your business, your relationship, your health, all those types of things. So we work on the full circle.
And you know, you mentioned a key word, joy, and a lot of ambitious and a lot of entrepreneurs that are, it's some, and myself included, it took me a while, are sometimes seeking joy, even when we're in faith and with our families and are generally should be content. And, you know, I've found, it seems like when you start to make a commitment to a balance, even if it means a sacrifice sometimes for a few of the professional things, that there is a joy and a peace that comes with knowing that you're in a better balance than just being completely lopsided towards one.
And I'll ask you and your listeners, isn't being an entrepreneur and a business owner about having joy? About having that freedom,
right?
You know, to make the money, to be happy. And now it's hard work. You know, it's a lot of hard work. I'm not going to take that away. I don't believe in the sitting at the beach making millions of dollars. Right. You know, that takes years of work to get to.
Right.
But you have to consider joy into what you're doing. If you're not happy, something has to change. Now, as a business owner, or if you're an employee, there's some things that you can't change. You can't leave your job. You can't just shut down your business. But there's other aspects of your life that we can look into to create more joy all around.
Yeah, that's really good. You're so right, too. I mean, for me, I tell people sometimes I woke up one day and realized I'm a commodity of my own business. I'm treating myself like a resource not to be wasted, which is good in many senses, but I was overbooked. And, you know, how many more hours can we get out of Derek? And is this his best productivity? Which to a point is good. Efficiencies and economies of scale. But I realized one day, I told my wife, I said, there's not joy here. I'm actually I'm a product that's being overworked by the company that we work hard to start, the exact opposite of what our goal was for this. And don't get me wrong, I love what I do, but yes, one day I woke up and realized that and said, man, there's got to be some balance.
You're not the only one, Derek. I know guys I've worked with who are making tons of money, businesses are growing like crazy, and there's no joy. And then I read a book, and I'll recommend it to you and your listeners, called The Price of Privilege. And it talks about how when we're privileged, when we're making some money in our business, our families suffer. And it talked about how 60% of kids don't feel that their parents are present. And they did a study of those kids, and most of them are depressed, anxious, doing drugs because they don't feel like their parents are around or they can trust their parents. So you might be out there doing business and so busy, and you're forgetting about your joy and the joy of your family,
right?
And so you need to take things into consideration when you make decisions about how many more hours am I going to get this work done? Or how many Saturdays and Sundays am I going to go to work and not see my family? Because you're thinking like this, and this is the way my father thought, and this is the way I thought in the beginning, was I'm doing this now so I can enjoy my family later. But my father can't, right? My father can't travel. He's six caregivers at the moment. God, hard time talking and walking. And if I ask you, is that what you want for your future? My guess is you're going to say no.
Right.
So if you don't plan it out now, today, how you're going to have joy, I promise you the years to come won't be any more fun.
I mean, great advice. Thank you so much for sharing. That's really powerful. And I appreciate you sharing your personal example. It's very real. And I'm sorry that it had to happen, but what a great testimony that can help other people as well. So thanks for sharing that. Give me some other, before we let you go, give me any other advice you want to share with our listeners in general, talking about having balance, talking about becoming a better leader, engaging with a consultant that can help them and take them to the next level.
Sure. For me, it's about knowing that choosing to lead, right? Once you choose to lead, that's when you can make things change. Last night, I took my wife to a Bon Jovi concert, and he's got a song called We Don't Run, right? And the song says, we don't run, I'm standing my ground, we don't run, and we don't back down. So if you've decided to be a leader, and I'm guessing that for the listeners who listen to your show, Derek, they've decided to lead.
Right.
You don't run away. You stand your ground. You don't back down. And you do those things that you think are hard to do and might be, you know, difficult, but you get them done. You know, you get them done. You have a conversation with your wife, you know, husband or business partner or boss, whoever it is you need to have a conversation with. You apologize to those people you've wronged. You forgive those who have wronged you, so you have that clear mind so that you can lead and become successful.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. You said something earlier about, you know, when someone gives you feedback, not to be offended and or to take it. And, you know, be prepared for those of you who are going to go to the next level and want to become a better leader. Be prepared to get hard truths sometimes. You don't want to just surround yourself all with yes people. You want people that are going to challenge you and hold you accountable for the things that are going to make you better. I shared an example recently where we were encouraged to send out a survey of questions. And one of the questions was, what are some areas in my life that I may not be aware of that are my blind spots? And 25 people gave me responses, and it really hurt. And I got mad at first. I told my wife, this is offensive. She said, why did you send it to people? You know what? You're right. So be prepared for the sting. Be prepared to have a little sting in your ego and your pride, but then get over it quickly, because you're going to really, you can really go to the next level of fulfillment and joy and peace. Igal, thank you so much for being our guest today. Where can our listeners learn more about you?
Sure. So you can go to my website, igalodotto.com. I'm also all over social media with the same name, Instagram, Facebook, and just connect with me, ask me questions. I'm here to help. And you're right, it stings, but when it stings, you know, that's when the growth happens. So I'm here to help people grow as leaders in their business, in their lives, and it would be my honor and pleasure to give any value I can.
Awesome. We'll put some show links out. A quote said about you from Saladi is, Igal is an intelligent, thoughtful, and caring coach who does an amazing job of really listening, which is important, identifying what needs to be worked on, and then empowering you to find solutions and move forward. If you've been on the fence today, if you have had any struggles, or if this resonates with you, I want to encourage you to do reach out to Igal. Take the next step. Reach out to somebody. Go look up Igal's information and find out more about what he's up to. I mean, we look forward to following you and seeing the next great things that you're doing. And I really appreciate what you're doing for helping others become better leaders.
Thanks, Derek. It's been a pleasure being on your podcast. I appreciate it.
Hey, you take care. We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.